Blog Talk Radio.
Because God says so. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give you thanks. That is my word for this morning. I will give you thanks forever. We got to thank the Lord. So he gave us another day. I like to say, thank you, Lord, for the do-over. Because he didn't have to wake you up this morning. He didn't have to start you on your way. He didn't have to give you another day. He didn't have to do anything but be God. But he gave us an opportunity for a do-over. So I thank God this morning for the do-over. And I pray, Lord, don't let me waste this day. Let me give you glory. Let me give you honor. Let me give you praise. For you are my Father God, and I am your humble servant. Hallelujah. Are you a servant of the Lord today? Are you just going through? We got to move forward in his word. Not my word, but God's word. And so today, as you know, this is Psalm, Proverb, and New Testament Sunday. You know, we went through the Old Testament on Friday, thanking God for Mother Valerie, who has been so gracious to be, we were in Numbers. Starting on Friday, Numbers, I believe, 4 through 6. And I just want to say thank you to Mother Valerie for coming in and reading and being an awesome help and partner in what we do for God. So we read Numbers chapter 3 through 8 on Friday. And today we will be in our Psalms. And our Psalm today is the 30th and 31st Psalm. In Proverbs chapter 10, starting verse 30, and Mark chapter 8, I believe, 8 through part of chapter 9 this morning. Yes, Mark chapter 8 and Mark chapter 9. So, thanking God again for his word, and we'll be going from verse 9, verses 1 through 29 on today. So please get your Bible, for this is Bible study. And if God gives you a word, don't hesitate to push that number 1 on your device or call 213-943-3600. 213-943-3597. Again, that's 213-943-3597, which is our call-in line and listening line. So you can listen in, and all you have to do when you call in is push the number 1 on your phone if God gives you a word. I'm thankful, and I'm grateful, and I know that I know I'm blessed to be a child of God in this season. Hallelujah. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Can y'all say that with me just one time? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to praise you. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to sing your praises, to say, I love you, Jesus, more than anything. I love you, Jesus, more than anything. And that it not just be words coming out of your mouth, but a song in your heart. So, Father God, as we lift up this mighty and awesome word this morning, Father God, I ask you, as I do every day, please increase as I decrease, Father. Please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Lord God. For you are my strength. You are my strength, Lord God, and you are my redeemer. As the psalmist says, Lord God, you have turned my mourning into dancing. You have turned my sorrow into joy. You are absolutely my Father, and I love you more than anything. I lift my hands, as the psalmist says, in total adoration unto you. Father God, I thank you that you have made a place for me in your heavenly kingdom. I thank you that you love me enough to help me get my life on track, God. I thank you, give me chastisement when I need it. I thank you that you have given me an opportunity, Lord God. As our ass said earlier, an opportunity for a do-over. Father God, I pray that this day is not wasted or thrown away. Lord God, I will serve you. Whatever you need me to do, Lord, just tell me. For I am listening for your voice, God. Oh, God, I ask as we go today, as many of us go into our churches, to remember the sacrifice of your holy and divine Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord God. You said not to take the cup unless we repent. Lord God, I repent for anything I've done or said against your divine or against your divine majesty, Father God. I ask you to forgive me for seeing seen and unseen, thoughts spoken and unspoken, words spoken and not spoken. God, I ask you to forgive me if I have hurt anyone in any way. I will not take the cup lightly, Lord God, as I do not take this word lightly. So, Father God, again, please increase and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. You are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And you, Lord God, have sent my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died upon Calvary's cross, as I remember on this day. He died upon Calvary's cross for my sins and the sins of the world. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me, for all you've done for our world, for all you've done to just get us to another day. Lord God, I lift up this planet and all that are in it, God. I lift up the people of Ukraine and Russia who are fighting a senseless, stupid war. Because one man decided that he wanted to take over another man's property. When your word says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Father God, I pray for our nations, Lord God. I pray for my nation. For your word says, a house divided against itself shall not stand, God. Help us be the United States of America and not half of the country hating another half of the country. Father God, help us to love each other because your joy is our strength. Your love is our hope in the future. So, Father God, as I lift up this mighty word this morning, I lift up all your people, asking you, Lord God, to cover us with the blood of the Lamb. Protect us from all hurt, harm, or danger. And hear our prayers, O Lord, and accept us. Forgive us of all our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God, because we have to ask for forgiveness of sin. We can't walk around stuffed up with sin, walk around trying to hide all the dirt we've done in our life. We got to confess and repent. Come on now. And give it all over to God. And as we go into the word this morning, we are coming out of the 30th Psalm. And the word of God in the 30th Psalm say, it is a song of David, and it's dedicated to his house. It says a song at the dedication of the house of David. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. My head is in the air on that, because God has lifted me up from a lot of things in my life. And have not let my foes rejoice over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Woo, all up in my business. Oh, Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive, and I should not go down to the pit. That I should not go down to the pit. And we talking to hell. Come on now. We don't want to go there. We don't want to go into the pit of death where you sleep until eternity. Come on now. Oh, Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Are you a saint of God this morning? If you are, just sing praises. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I cry out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Hallelujah. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And that is our title for this morning. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Are you thanking God this morning? Are you thanking God? Are you just going through the day? For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should give thanks to him. He gave you a do-over. Just join me right now in a moment to say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to your holy and divine name. Father God, I just thank you for your grace and mercy this morning. I just say thank you, Lord, for all you've done in my life, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for safe journeys up and down the highway. Thank you, Lord, for safe journeys for friends on trains and planes and automobiles. God, we just say thank you. In the 31st Psalm, verses 1 through 5, the word of God says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Can you say it with me? Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Hallelujah. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Hallelujah. Are you redeemed by the Lord today? Has he redeemed your soul? Has he redeemed you and kept you out of the pit. Say thank you this morning, because he didn't have to keep you here, but he did. Thank God. In our word for this morning, the 30th Psalm, verse 5. Ooh, hallelujah. His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Oh, holy God, Dr. Stanley says to us, oh, holy God, judge. God must judge. Our holy God must judge sin. But because he is also a loving God, he takes great pleasure in showing us mercy and bestowing his grace upon us. Hard times may be a fact of life here on earth, but one day, who can y'all say it with me? One day, he will wipe away all our tears. Revelation 7 and 17. Hallelujah. We can't do nothing more than say thank you. This is a thank you morning to the Lord. Hallelujah. Night and day. It says friends. Though difficult circumstances may weigh on your heart. Dr. Stanley is all that. And for those that are saying, why is she talking about Dr. Stanley? Because we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year, New King James Version. And so when you hear me say life lessons, life examples, what the Bible says, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley to help us understand the lesson a little bit better. And when we go into this word, he gave us a life example. Friend, be encouraged. Though difficult circumstances may weigh on your heart, there is great hope for you because God is your help and deliverer. Woo, hallelujah. I believe that. I believe in my heart that God, not man, but God may send man to do what needs to be done. But it is God who is our help in every circumstance. It is God who will get you through whatever the circumstance may be. It is God who will take over your finances. It is God who will give you strength in the midst of illness. It is God who will take you out of the muck and the mire. It is God. And Dr. Stanley tells us in Psalm 30 and 5, he says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And it's true. I can attest to that. The issue that seems so insurmountable at night after you've had a long, difficult day and are tired are not so unsolvable in the morning. Your situation will always appear gloomier at night when it reflects the darkness of the midnight sky. Yet when the sun rises and you spend time in God's powerful presence, you will feel a renewal of God's strength and will receive his fresh wisdom for the day. God will bring you joy. As swiftly as God changes night into day, he can transform your cries of sorrow into a reason for praise. Though he may not remove the situation, he will certainly show you his powerful hand in it. Therefore, trust him. Remember that with God, nothing will be impossible. Sing his praises with faith that as the sun makes its appearance on the horizon, I will show his faithfulness in your situation. But the mouth of the, in your situation, I was getting carried away. I was about to hit a proverb. But as we continue in this psalm word, you know, giving thanks to God in Psalm 30 and 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And I have to say, I went through a long, long, long period of mourning. I did, because when you have been married to your best friend, when you have had that person in your life since you were a teenager, it's difficult when you get to be in your 50s and there's that person is no longer in your life. You know, because you have to come to the realization that your faith is in God. And that so many times we put people and we put our faith in man and not in God. So we got to learn how to put faith in God. Don't let yourself love so much that you forget that God should be your first love. Hallelujah. And I'm speaking for myself. I can't talk about anybody else. But I went through a real long, long, long period of mourning. And we're talking years. Because I just couldn't handle the loss of my best friend. My husband of 32 years. But my friend, 38 years. So that was hard. But I know that God has brought me through. And he will bring you through as well. I don't know who this is for. But if you are mourning, you got to give it to God. Don't be like me. And hold on to that, because then it becomes unholy grief. And the enemy uses it against you. He will use it against you in every way, in every form that you least expect. So be careful. Give it to God and let it go. Because unholy grief will take you down into the pit. So watch as well as pray. Because the enemy is like a roaring lion. And all he's thinking about is devouring our souls and knocking us out of our squares of light. He wants us in the dark. He wants us where we can't hear God. You've got to stay in the light. And it says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. God never meant for life to be one long lament. Come on now. He never meant for his people to trudge through life with a perpetual cloud over their heads. To know God is to know joy, and even in sorrow, we can rejoice in him, because we should rejoice in him, because the word of God tells us that absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. So why are we mourning? Why are we not rejoicing? It took me a long time to get to this place, and I thank God for his word. It is his word that turned my life around. And all I can say is thank you. And it says to the chief musicians in the 31st Psalm, verses 1 through 5, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. Who do you call on when you're slipping and sliding across the interstate in a snowstorm? You call on the name of Jesus. You tell God, Lord God, you take the wheel. And I'm speaking this because on Friday, I'm on my way to work and got hit with an ice storm. Snow coming down in that big, fluffy, wet snow. It wasn't, you know, light. It was fluffy and wet. And the wind was blowing so hard that my car was going almost over into the next lane. It was like I was just sliding, like I was an ice skater going back and forth on the ice. And all I could do was say, Lord God, take the wheel. And I can only say, thank you, Lord, because he got me to my destination. But it was nasty. It was real nasty. And we got to understand that the only thing and the only one you can call on in times of trouble is the Lord God. Hallelujah. Deliver me. We got to ask for deliverance. We got to ask God to take the wheel. Hallelujah. When you're going down the highways and byways tired, God, you take the wheel. When you're going through whatever it may be, Lord, you take the wheel. We got to give it over to God. And it says, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. The enemy is always trying to lay a net for you. You got to ask God to keep you protected. For you are my strength. Who shall strengthen The Lord is your strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Give it over to God, everything and anything, whatever your mess may be, give it to God. And it tells us, you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. When we place our trust in God, thank you, Dr. Stanley, through Christ, he becomes our stronghold and identifies us with him forever. Our destiny is bound up with his future. This is why we can confidently ask for guidance. I got to read that again. Our destiny is bound up with his future. That is why we can confidently ask for his guidance. I know in my heart that these commentaries that Dr. Stanley gives us are coming from God. I feel it all the way, as they say, down to my pinky toe, that God has given his divine appointment for this word. And all I can say is thank you, Dr. Stanley, for listening to the voice. Proverbs 10 and 30 through 30, I think it's 35, but we'll get to it. It says in Psalms, Proverbs 10, starting at verse 30, the righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Come on now. But the perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Can I say that again? The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. Hallelujah. And all I can say is, Lord, you are good. Proverbs chapter 11, starting at verse 1. And it says, honest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. In other words, folks that are cheating, folks by pushing the scale. And that is one of those things, you know, when your house is evaluated as less than what it's worth. You know, when you come back with an appraisal that says your house is worth X dollars, when you know in your heart your house is worth double that, you know, we got to stop and say, Lord, you in charge. You know, because shysters and cheaters are always there. And, you know, I look at who lives here, so I'm going to change this evaluation. We got to understand that God knows everything. God sees your heart, and God knows your spirit. Better understand, God don't play. Keep messing with God's righteous. Keep messing with God's anointed. And watch and see what happens in your own life. You won't even know why. And then God will put it in your remembrance. How you cheated the widow. How you cheated the orphans. How you cheated the pastors and the churches and the men and women of God. How you overtaxed the property that belongs to the church. Just because you are an atheist and you don't believe in churches getting any kind of breaks. Come on now. You know, God knows who these folks are, and you will pay the consequences, because God don't play that. Don't mess with the anointed of God. And it says that when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Come on now. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't buy your way into the presence of God. Understand that you got folks that want to buy their way to heaven. You know, if I can build a spaceship, then I can get to heaven. You'll just be a spaceship wandering in the vastness of the universe, but you won't get to heaven because you can't buy your way in it. It only comes from righteousness. It only comes from God. And if you say you don't believe in him, then you better go on and get ready for your place in the fiery furnace, in your place in the pit, right along with your absolute, the devil, because we know that he has nothing but sin. And we know that he is a low-down, dirty snake. And as we continue in verse 3 of the 11th Proverbs, verse number 5, says the righteousness of the blameless will direct his way all right, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness will deliver them, but the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. Woo! I'm telling you, God don't play. And don't take his word for granted. This word is our blueprint to keep us alive in the time of trouble. Because trouble is coming. We just got to be prepared and ready. We got to get our sword of the word ready. Because we got to be getting ready to fight a fight of faith. We got to be ready. Because the enemy is, and his minions are getting bolder and bolder, and we got to get bold for the Lord. Don't be ashamed to tell somebody, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, I love the Lord. Don't be ashamed of your faith. You know, don't be ashamed to say, hi, I am. And where do you go to church? Come and join me some Sundays. You know, don't be pushy. But don't be ashamed to say who you are and what you believe. Hallelujah. God is calling all of us to go to work in this season. It's time to go to work. And in our New Testament word this morning, starting in Mark chapter 8, and it says, and in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way, for some of them have come from afar. Then his disciples answered him, how can we once satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. Come on now. So he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and they set them before the multitude. They also had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said to them also before them, so they ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets of leftover fragments. Now, those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away immediately, got into the boat with his disciples, and came to the region of Dalmanutha. Then the Pharisees came out, here they come again, and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? You think he was talking to today? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than 1 loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments did you take up? They said to him, 12. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. And so he said to them, how is it you do not understand? Jesus was getting frustrated. He said, now you have seen these miracles, over 9,000 people fed. Come on now. 5 loaves one time, 7 loaves another time, one time 2 fishes, another time a few fishes. Come on. What have you seen? Why would you think I would be worried about a loaf of bread when I can take that loaf of bread and feed everybody here on one side of the river and the other? And that's a paraphrase. That's me talking. But I know that what Jesus could do, he fed all these people, over 9,000, with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Come on now. Why do we think he can't take care of us? In Mark 8 and 12, he sighed deeply in his spirit. Jesus never felt disillusioned by his disciples because he had no illusions about them to begin with. Our appointment with their lack of spiritual progress. And we all, I'm sure there are pastors right now out there who are wondering, how can they not be better? I have poured into them. I have come after them. I have done everything I can. And why is it that they don't understand the word of God? When I pour in every week in Bible study, I pour in on Sunday. I pour in Sunday school. I pour in. They're poured in the word. How do they not understand? Jesus was like, they are with me every day and night. How do they not understand? In Mark 8 and 21, how is it you do not understand? Sometimes we mistakenly think that grace excuses us from the hard work of growing spiritually. It doesn't. The Bible says that by reason of use, we have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5 and 14. That means we grow by allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us, by obeying God, and by making godly decisions. And I tell you this, I just started watching a show called Poker Face. And in it, you know, they don't call it discernment. They just say this woman has an understanding and can determine when a person is lying are telling the truth. And she's, to me, I laugh. I said she's like a female Columbo who you think is just kind of out there. But what she doesn't understand is she has what we call discernment. She can discern good from evil. She can discern a lie from the truth. That is a gift from God. But, of course, we all know how network television don't want to call it what it is, discernment. It's not a poker face. It's a spirit of discernment. But anyway, let's continue. Chapter 8, verse 22 through 38. Then he came to Bethesda, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and on the road he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? So they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him. Now, Peter trying to tell Jesus what to do. I love this. You know, Jesus going, this is where you get that word. this is where you get it. And y'all know what I'm getting ready to say. So follow me in this word this morning, because now you understand the concept. Now, Jesus has told him, Peter boldly said, you are the Christ. Jesus said, now I'm getting ready to do some training. And he told him, he told him what was going to happen. He said, the priests and the scribes, and he said, I will be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside. You know, Peter going to take him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Hallelujah. Get things in context. We got to get it in context. I've heard people say, get behind me, Satan. You better understand. You better have your faith. You have to have your shield of protection before you tell the devil to get behind you. Because the one thing you don't want is the devil behind you with his knife to stab you in your back, because you don't have your shield of protection, which is the blood of Jesus, which is the faith that surpasses all understanding, which is the grace of God, which is the full armor of God. You got to have it all on before you even think about opening your mouth and telling the devil to get behind you. Because Jesus can say that because he's Christ. But we cannot until we are completely covered. Because you put him behind you, believe me, he's going to tear you up. It says, and when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed to say who you are. As the, what was the queen said, tell them who we are. We got to tell folks who we are. We are men and women of the way. We believe in the Savior Jesus Christ. We know he died for our sins. And we know that he will come again. Hallelujah. I am saved by his blood. I am saved by the grace of God. I know my daddy. I know who he is. I know my Savior. We got to start speaking up, because there's a whole lot of Christians out there creating confusion and making people hate the church and say, I don't want to be one of them. Because we're hateful and evil acting. We got to change the concept of Christianity. We got to change who we are perceived to be to the world. We got to show who our Father is. Hallelujah. And I love this word that Dr. Stanley gives us. And he says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Jesus said this. And Dr. Stanley says this question is meant as rhetorical. Nothing can make up for the loss of one soul. Yet how many of us regularly exchange our lives for much less than the whole world? Come on now. Folks want everything but God. And Dr. Stanley even talks about tithing. And it goes on to tell us this is a life question. Should I tithe when I'm struggling financially? From the human perspective, the Bible is a book of paradoxes. It says, for example, that if we really want to have life, we must first lose it. Matthew 10:39. If we want to understand authority, we must first become a servant. Matthew 20:26-27. If we want to get ahead in life, we must first humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6. And giving God is the first step toward financial freedom. fasting when I can't even pay my bills? Doesn't God expect me to take care of my debts first? At first glance, such a response sounds reasonable. The problem is, it's not God's response. He insists that if we don't give, then we are robbing him, and we will end up in worse financial shape than ever. We should always keep in mind that God gives us this tenth in the first place. It never is ours. Come on now. All things come from you, and of your own we have given you. 1 Corinthians 29:14. The tithe is our way to renew God's blessing in our lives. It is always for our increase. God's promises have been tried and proven. This includes the promises regarding tithing. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Come on now. The Lord tells us, and then he adds, try me now in this. Malachi 3:10. God invites us to try him, to prove his wisdom, to test his truth. What a bold challenge. Will we take it up? If we do, he promises to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you until it overflows. Malachi 3:10. The challenge involves a tithe, a tenth of your income. That may frighten you, but remember, since God owns it all, he is asking only for a penny back out of every dime. He doesn't need the money. He simply wants us to discover the rewards of obedience. Giving is God's supernatural means of pruning the group. Priming the pump of divine supply. We initiate it by faith, not reason. Giving to God is a prerequisite for enjoying true financial freedom. If you feel afraid to give a tenth of your income, then at least start somewhere. When you start to give and realize the wisdom of God's economic plan, it won't be long until you will be giving a tenth of your income or even more. We got to give to God. And I tell you, I look forward to my giving. I will give to God because I know where I've been and I know where I am, but I know that God is going to bring me through. Hallelujah. And as we continue, it says in Mark 9:1-29, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, is it good for us to be here? And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, saying, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Then he answered and told them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt? But I say to you that Elijah has also come, and they did to him whatever they wished, as it is written of him. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on him and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Nothing but prayer and fasting. And some life lessons and a life example for this Mark chapter 9 word. In Mark 4:9-4, Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. How did Peter and the others instantly recognize Moses and Elijah, men they never met, who had died centuries before? In the Transfiguration, we get a brief foretaste of heaven and its wonders. Mark 9:10, they kept this word to themselves, questioning what the rising from the dead meant. Jesus sometimes did speak figuratively, John 2:19-21. So perhaps we can sympathize with this failure to grasp the Lord's meaning, Mark 9:32. The words of God are not always easy to understand. And a life example, no in between. He wanted to believe, really he did, after seeing his son suffer terribly. All this desperate father wanted was for his boy to be healed. Yet so many other things had failed, even Jesus' own disciples could not rid his son of the demon that tormented him so cruelly. Could Jesus really heal the boy, or would he be disappointed again? The father pleaded with Jesus, voicing the only hope he had left. "If you can do things, have compassion on us and help us." Have you been there? You see no possible way out of your situation. You've tried everything, but was all in vain. The issue continues to eat away at you, and you know that if you don't get help soon, it will destroy you. Your only hope is that Jesus will help you. However, after so many things have failed, you have only a half-hearted faith that Jesus can really do anything for you. Like the father of Mark 9, you are trapped between belief and unbelief. Though you believe in Jesus for your salvation, and you know that the miracles he did in the New Testament are real, it's a different story trusting him to deal with your problems. First, you may be questioning whether he will help you because you doubt you are worth helping. This is especially true when your situation is due to your own mistakes. However, understand that Christ's love for you is unconditional, and he wants to help you. Yet he also calls you to repent of your sins and obey him. Therefore, in order to receive Christ's aid, confess your sins to him and begin obeying him immediately. Second, you may be wondering if Jesus is able to deal with your modern-day problem. Most assuredly, the God who created the universe can deal with any situation that arises in it. Jesus assures you, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe, Mark 9:23, God can do it. Can you believe it? Friend, you may have to pray like that father did. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. However, as he teaches you, be deliberate about relinquishing your doubts. Your willingness to trust him is key. Therefore, have faith that he will do the impossible in your situation and truly believe. Hallelujah. Are you believing the Lord today? Are you trusting in God today? Before we get out of here, a couple from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And, you know, always on point every time she sends a word. And the word for yesterday and the word for Friday, because we did not get Friday's word in until after the show. And Friday was, faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds your future. Have a faith via Friday. And this father had to have faith. And I didn't understand when I didn't. I'm like, well, Lord. And Lord said, you understand. And now I understand that that word was for today. Joy is a product of God's presence. Declare, let's declare the joy of the Lord today. Have a super joyous Saturday. Again, a word for today from our Psalms. And then this morning's word, good morning. God is the ultimate influence in our lives because he loved us enough to give his life for us. Have a blessed Sunday. All three words were for today. And I have to thank God. I always find out when God doesn't let me see something until the next day is because it is not for that day. And so I love the word for my prayers this morning. And our first prayer, as we get ready to wrap up this morning, is this: place for me. There are many rooms in my father's house. I would not tell you this if it were not true. I am going there to prepare a place for you, John 14:2, NTV. God over all, it's almost too much to know that the God of the universe cares about me. When I look in your word, your fingerprint of love shines through nearly every page. How amazing that you not only love us and pursue us in this life, but you have prepared a place for us in your kingdom. What a beautiful gift. Lord, as I walk this life with you, when I start to get discouraged by the world, and it's always, lift my eyes, remind me that this life is a temporary one. There is more to come, and it will be more wonderful than I can imagine. Give me the endurance I need to run this race of life, not forgetting that the finish line is the entrance to a new and glorious reality. I won't forget that you, Jesus, have gone ahead to prepare a place. It will be so worth the wait. And the question is, do you believe there is a place for you in God's kingdom? And a word for today, we're going to be a minute or two over. And it says, my mistakes, all up in today's word. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. The 37th Psalm, verse 24, ESV. Father of mercy, you are constantly with me, lifting me up from the depths and walking with me through the heights of life. I am so incredibly grateful that you do not expect me to be perfect. Rather, it is in you that I have been perfected. Your mercy covers me in my darkest days and lifts me out of my shame. When I fall, Lord, pick me up and be the lifter of my head. May I see your eyes of love shining over me and beckoning me out of the torrent of guilt that so quickly swirls. Your love is big enough to cover every mistake and every failure. You never condemn me in my weakness. You infuse my heart with the strength of your compassion. As you cover me so willingly, forgive my every fault. May I be the same, quick to forgive and reconcile with those I am walking with through life. You are so merciful, God, and I am thankful. And a question for this morning is, do you believe that you are defined by your mistakes or by God's great love for you? Have a blessed day, family, It has been a word this morning. Woo, we've gone up. We've gone down. We've gone all the way around. God's word is true. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And I pray over all of you this morning. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, and find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that this word will not only permeate you when you listen in on Blog Talk Radio, but when you go into the house of God, it will just give you even more food for thought, more strength in your body, more of God's word to sustain you through the week. Have a great day, family. Please join me next week. Join me tomorrow. This is the beginning of the week. So join me tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we move forward in the word of God. Have a blessed day, family. I love you, and God loves you too. And there is nothing you can do about it. But love God back and love me too. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Love is important, and we thank God for his love for all of us. Have a great day, family. Until now.